That was a Bibio sound machine here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Juliet Frumholt, happy to welcome our first guest of the evening into the studio. One of these guys has been here before. We're going to get to know the whole band. They have a new album called Passion Relapse on Sofa Burn Records. Good folks making music from just a little bit south of us. We're going to talk about the album, how you can see them live, and all kinds of other good stuff. But first, we're going to hear Ampline live in the studio. Take it away, guys.
Look in my eye. I will see.
Campline, live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Going to give these guys a chance to hop over to the mic and let you know that their new album is called Passion Relapse. And it comes out on Sofa Burn Records this Friday. We are mere days away, and they have the perfect mix of shows because it doesn't matter where in the WYSO listening area you are, they have a gig coming near you in the next couple of days. I want to welcome, we've got Kevin Schmidt, Mike Montgomery, and Rick McCarty in the house. Welcome, you guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey. Well, so I guess it's a welcome back for Mike and a welcome for Rick and Kevin. And I know that the three of you guys have been playing together for quite a few years. Tell me a little bit about what it was that sort of brought you together to start performing as Ampline.
Kevin started the band quite a few years ago with some other players, some friends of ours. And when their drummer left, that's when I joined the band in about 2001. Shortly thereafter, Mike joined the band when we were working on our first record together. So it was just a mutual interest. We were all friends. We all had a mutual respect of one another's other projects that had been going on in the local scene for quite a few years. So it's just really a mutual interest of a lot of different things.
Cool. And I know that you guys are all involved in multiple projects. It can be tricky sometimes to sustain a band for any reason, but especially when you're all playing with many different other players and in many different projects that take you near and far. Does it make it easier or harder to sort of come back together and focus in on this particular project?
I mean, we all love doing this, so we make the time to make this work because we enjoy it. And that it's really as simple as that. We all have jobs that keep us very busy and other musical projects, like you said, that keep us busy. So it's always difficult to have the time to do the things you want to do. So it's certainly something that this is something we prioritize to make happen when we want to make it happen. That's probably also the reason why we've been able to do it for so long, because if we just focused on this and this alone, we probably would have killed each other about 17 years ago.
You get to, like, go to your corners and do other things and then come back together.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'm sure, too, like, you know, you kind of hinted at something I was going to ask you, which is that when you do play with a group of people for so long, it becomes like family, for better or for worse.
Definitely.
And I think that for you guys, this is your fifth full-length that's getting ready to come out, and you guys have been playing together a long time. What do you find are some of the advantages, perhaps, that you took into the recording process for this one, having been a band for so long?
Wow, that's a tough question. I don't know that any of it was.
Yeah,
truthfully, and the recording process for this last record, I think in our minds we had a vision of what we expected to do and how we expected it to go. And I don't think it really panned out that way at all. Not in a negative context, but it certainly, I was very shocked the way everything progressed in the studio. It wasn't the way I expected at all. So we really spent a long time prepping the songs, writing the songs, arranging the songs, rehearsing the songs, then rehearsing the songs to try to get to the point where we felt we needed to be to track them. We demoed them almost ad nauseum again and again and again. So all of that preparation, I think, when it finally came time to track things for real when we wanted to, seemed to go much smoother and much quicker than I think we anticipated. So in a lot of ways, we made all these plans in our head of we're going to try this and do this and plan to do that. And it turns out we just needed to get into the room and play with each other, and we were pleasantly surprised with the results that were much quicker to attain than we ever thought they would be.
Oh, that's awesome. That's very awesome to bring in both the prep and being very much in the moment.
Yeah.
Because there's the risk of, like, prepping so much that the songs in the studio feel almost so rehearsed and you lose that serendipity, that beautiful moment where it all kind of gels. But to be able to have the best of both worlds, yeah. God, that must have felt so good.
It did. It was very it was shocking, really. I mean, I several times I thought, what, are we really, we're really done with that? That was the one, we got it?
Yeah.
It just, because we're so used to, I guess we were so used to doing the things that we spent so much time prepping for, where we hammered through the arrangements and worked out all the changes, and again and again and again, we practiced them so much and road tested everything so much. By the time Mike pushed record, I think we had gotten to a place where we were so comfortable, it just was pretty effortless. And the main thing was getting the sounds that we were trying to chase. I think that was the biggest thing. And that probably is the thing that took the most time, making sure we had all of the equipment that Mike wanted to use, and the two-inch tape machine, things like that. And we tracked virtually everything live in the room together. So that also was something we were trying to focus on, prepping ourselves to be able to record that way, because that's sort of a unique process in and of itself.
It takes a lot of trust, yeah. I think. But just watching you guys as you were getting set up and knowing how long you've been playing together, it makes total sense that you could achieve that for yeah. sure. Because I can see the way you interact, and there's that moment where you become like, you stop being kind of the individual players and you become the band as a unit.
Yeah.
And so to capture that in the studio.
Yeah, that certainly felt, this band has always felt that way to me. It's never felt like there was an individual part or individual person that sort of stood up above the others. It was always a very democratic and equal setting for everything we did, whether it's writing things or recording things or when we perform. It very much feels like one unit all the time, as opposed to me and two other guys. Because I've been in other bands where you feel like you're one of the guys in the band, but okay, that guy's over there doing that, or that guy's going to take a solo here. It never feels like that in this band. It always feels like we're always pulling towards the same goal with each song, which is a really unique feeling to have in a setting like that.
I'm curious then, what's your writing process like between the three of you?
We just really get in a room and throw stuff against the wall. Most of the time is spent just like that in a room working on things. We've always tried to avoid anybody coming in saying, I wrote this song, here it is. I mean, people come in with ideas of riffs or patterns or whatever, and we tend to hash them out together more so than people saying, here's this song and this is how it goes, so you figure out what you're going to do because here's the song. We've never really worked like that.
Kind of somebody has a little nugget or a thread and then everybody else starts building on it.
Yeah, that's that democratic portion I was describing. That's sort of the most unique thing I've always felt about the band, was we've always tried to work together, as difficult as it is at times, because it can be really trying and it can take a long time sometimes if everybody's not in the right frame of mind. But it's very rewarding when you're all in the room working on something and then it clicks and you all kind of get it at the same time.
Do you guys kind of know, can you kind of like look at each other when you're kind of hashing something out and you kind of all like know, like, oh, here it is?
Usually, yeah. Most of the time that's what happens. You can never tell until it happens. That's the other thing. We can practice for hours at a time and have nothing to show for it and just feel like it's been a total waste. But there's plenty of times where you've hit that spot and you know right away, okay, that's a keep. We got to record that now so we don't lose any of what we just came up with.
Do you think that writing process helps also with the live show, with sort of, especially as you guys were kind of coming up together, do you think writing like that collaboratively and finding those moments and locking in together also has influenced you as a live band, or helped you build those skills that make you also able to lock in with each other and be very, very strong on stage together?
Possibly. I mean, I think the strength of our live show is really in the preparation we have. And that's just time. That really is just a lot of time playing together. So I guess I never really thought about that, but it probably has some influence for sure, because everybody has their voice and everybody has their place and their equal footing to put forth their ideas. So Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing when we play live. We just try to put forth everything as one big loud unit in your face without any reservations, and then just get out of the way.
go from there, right?
Yeah.
So speaking of going from there, so the new album, Passion Relapse, it's coming out this Friday.
Yep.
There's going to be some rather beautiful vinyl, as I am holding in my hand, and then digital releases as well. And I know you guys are going to be in Dayton at Blind Bob's tomorrow, at Rumba Cafe on Friday, and then the big party down at Southgate House Revival this weekend. What does kind of moving forward from the celebrations and the release and all that, what is 2018 looking like for you guys kind of into, as you wind into spring and summer? What are you thinking?
Well, we have a bunch of other tour dates through March, and then we're trying to figure out right now what we're going to be doing through the summer and into the fall, the latter part of the year. But we've got a bunch of different options we're discussing. We really just want to spend as much time as we can playing this year, as much as possible, wherever possible. So we're just trying to figure out some tour routings and some tour options that are out there for the rest of the year. But we want to spend as much time as we can playing these songs as soon as possible, because we've spent a really long time working on this and sort of not avoiding, but staying away from excessive touring to try to finish this project. And that's really been the goal, to try to get the record to be in people's hands finally, and then be able to go out and play more as much as we can.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like you're poised for a really great year.
I hope so.
If people want to keep tabs on where you're going to be and all the stuff that you're up to this year, where's the best place for them to connect with you?
Probably just our website, ampline.net. All the tour dates are updated on there and are daily. And links to all the social media stuff that people enjoy wasting time with are on there too.
And we've got links up to Ampline's website and their social media for all your time wasting needs on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. We've got links to the three local shows there as well. Give you more details on those here in just a few. But what do you think, guys? Shall we do some more live ones?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Heck yeah. I'm going to give these guys a chance to get back to their instruments. We've got Ampline in the house getting ready to perform some more tunes live for us here on Kaleidoscope. You can see them live and in person in Dayton tomorrow night at Blind Bob's, in Columbus at Rumba Cafe on Friday, which is also the day that the album will be hitting stores and digital outlets. And the big celebration is at Southgate House Revival. That is down in Kentucky, just south of Cincy. And that is going to be on Saturday night. We've got links up to all of those shows on the Kaleidoscope Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. And I think we are ready for some more live ones. If you guys are, take it away whenever you're ready.
Hey, thanks, Juliet, for having us.
dissipating lines of his light. Captured, the thoughts are leaking out, spilling out again.
Live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Their new album is called Passion Relapse. It's out Friday. But you can see them tomorrow night in Dayton at Blind Bob's, in Columbus on Friday night at Rumba Cafe, and Southgate House Revival on Saturday. We've got links up to all the info, details on the show, and how to get the album at facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. You guys, this was such a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Check out Ampline. All the details at facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. Plenty of opportunities to see them, no matter where you are in our listening area. Getting back to the recorded music for a bit, here's the latest from the New Pornographers.